E1, number 38A.
So we came right down to the point of mind where within me I could see that the Christ idea will work in such a way that even the patient will acknowledge that the work is done, that he himself within itself has the enlightenment of mind where he acknowledges that the work is done. And perhaps like Habakkuk, in spite of material opposite testimony. Sometimes you have even that where you feel the work is done, though you don't see yet the results of it in the human and the material. So my thought is at that point where I begin to see that the Christ idea will dissolve the patient's ignorance and the rejection of being really the standard of the idea and that the work is done. And so my thought may rest there for a while until perhaps within me I have a sense, but how is it? Did he ever leave the realm of the real? Where would your thought go? What is the answer to, did he ever leave the realm of the real, is what? He did never real the realm of the real, and therefore where are you, where is your thought?
Divine science.
Divine science, yes. It's where the idea is right, never left the oneness of being, huh? Your thought goes right up at this point to divine science. And where in divine science?
Life.
To life, huh? And there you saw, you come to that point where you see, because the idea never left the realm of real, it was always in the real. See, we saw yesterday on the ascending way of understanding that the moment Mr. Dawley saw after Absolute Christian Science that the idea is always in the oneness of being and never left the oneness of being, that opened up to the level of divine science. In him we live and move our being, you see. So it leads thought right up to divine science, where thought says, oh, and why to life? We didn't say why to life.
Because it's the realm of the
real. Yeah, is that the word? Couldn't that be the whole divine science level if it's the realm of the real? Did it ever leave? I would say no, it could never leave it because it exists always as isness in divine science, you see. Therefore, within the isness, you can't go out of it. It's the realm of the real, the one life, where everything exists and has its existence and its being, and therefore never leaves it. And as your thought is seeing that, and you see, oh, how wonderful that is, that an idea is always in the bosom of God, is always in the being of God, in the isness and existence of God, in the self-existence of God. You feel, yes, and therefore this idea in the existence of God is the only divine fact in expression. Where do you go? Yeah? You just go over to truth and you see that isness, you see, is not just a static isness, but it has always a complete expression. And actually, in treatment, you like to see that. You like to see that the perfect isness of a situation is perfectly expressed. And you have the Christ truth, the Christ, or the Christ truth, yes, the Christ ideal in expression. And something perhaps in you says, well, that's fine. So from everlasting to everlasting, really, the right idea is always expressed. And perhaps here you get the sense of feeling that that there is no more another argument, and perhaps you stop here in the Christ as truth in divine science. Perhaps. It all depends how you listen, how you feel within yourself. As long as there are other arguments creeping up, you go on with the treatment. Until within you everything is at peace. Yes. So we started another way than yesterday, although we had more or less the same question. But you can see, it all depends how the one who gives the treatment reacts at the very first moment, and from there thought flows. And that is naturally, you see, the divine flow, because it is not humanly, mentally outlined. This is what we said, there is no must. Try not to outline your treatment. The moment we say, I'm going to treat it this and this and this way, it's human outlining, and it goes against the flow of the divine influx. See, treatment is really that somewhere we have not gone with the stream of life, with the flow of life. And therefore we had some kind of a hindrance and opposition, and that builds up a so-called problem. So treatment is to be so still within oneself that one has no human conception, no human conception how to treat the case. Never, never have a human conception that you say, okay, now I'm going to treat this case on the level of divine science, or I'm going to treat this case with the Christ order, or something like that. If you do that, it's wrong. See, it's completely wrong. Because then we interject our human outlining. Whereas treatment is that we flow in the line of the divine mind. And that you can trust, you see, you can trust your inward voice. That inward voice makes you flow. And the easier you let all the arguments come up and just take them by the horns and deal with them, then you really put one obstacle out, one obstacle after the other out of the way. But if you sit down and say, here I have a problem, I go now through the chart, and I'm going now this time to handle it, say, through the whole Christ vertical, well, you outline. Though what you do is in the line of the chart and is systematically right, it is methodologically wrong. System and method are two different things. System is presenting the system of being. Method is the way how the system uses us. I know exactly how it is that at the beginning, when a student of Christian Science should work out the problem, the very first thing is that the argument comes up, I don't know enough. I don't know how to do it. It's usually that, and so they feel, I can't do it, I must ask somebody else to do it for me. Now, don't do that. You know much more than what people had known 20, 30, 40, 50, and 70 years ago and could do the work also. I think we must be aware that through this institution of listed practitioners, something has come into the whole field of Christian Science, which said there are laymen and then a few, well, healers. They were the spiritual priests, and they can do it, but the laymen can't do it. Now, this is not the purpose of Christian Science. The purpose is that everyone is his own physician. And trust your consciousness, trust your understanding. You know enough. You know enough for most cases, in most situations. All right, there may arise here and there a situation where you have tried with all your earnesty and with all your sincerity to find a solution and you feel you haven't found it. Then it is only right that you share your problem with somebody else and see if together with somebody else things can move. But always start by doing the work yourself. And I would say to everybody, trust that you know enough. You actually do. The other point is, to repeat it again, is don't outline your treatment. Before you start giving yourself a treatment or to a patient a treatment, just first get still within your consciousness. Very still. Just lean back in your chair and just say, after all, what's going on? What is going on? And so you, well, let's just do it. We can make another one. Yes?
I'm just wondering, suppose something seems rather prolonged.
Rather?
Prolonged.
Yes?
And yet there seems to be some progress, being made.
Yes? You see, also you have here the question of prolonged solution, or prolonging the solution, not those immediate, instantaneous healing. I don't feel that an instantaneous healing is any better than a prolonged healing. I don't think so. Why? This is a rather heretical remark I make. But if I look into Mrs. Eddy's work and life, she would have sometimes a problem hanging around for 25 years. For instance, 25 years, I think it was, before she established the Christian Science Monitor, she was thinking about having such a paper. But she didn't do it. She waited. The problem was just staying there. Just always staying there. Just waiting for the right moment to come out. Sometimes I have seen in my practice or in the experience I have seen in the whole field that those patients that get an instantaneous, marvelous healing usually never become good students. They have a marvelous healing, and it was so easy for them, so quick for them, that they felt this is a wonderful trick. So if I have again some kind of trouble, I will go to my practitioner and he will just make bang, and then it's away, you see. I think you see very seldom that these are the ones who will become real, deep, earnest students. And you can see the other way around, that people who may not get the healing very quickly, or perhaps not even get it from their practitioners, that they become really the good students and later on the practitioners. You have a wonderful example in the history of Christian Science with Mrs. and Mr. Kimball. Mrs. Kimball was healed very quickly. And when Mr. Kimball asked for the solution of one of his big problems before he became a Christian Scientist, he didn't get the healing. He didn't get it from any practitioner. And so Because he didn't get it, he had to make up his mind to jolly well get it for himself. And so he sat down and he studied that textbook really deeply and earnestly, digging and digging and digging, and then he got it. And we know that for that time, Kimball was a mighty big teacher with a very, very wonderful sense of analysis, analyzing, uncovering, and annihilating the claims of mortal mind. So you can see, perhaps if Kimball would have had a quick healing like that, he may have been perhaps in the same boat as most others who had a quick healing, like all those who had a quick healing from Jesus. They never made the grade afterwards. You don't hear of anyone of Jesus' disciples that, or of Jesus' patients, that when they got healed, that they would follow him and really spread the gospel. Those who really did spread the gospel were those who were not healed by Jesus, who were attracted spiritually to Jesus. So the question, is a prolonged healing a healing that is not so good as an instantaneous healing? I would not ask neither with yes nor no. Every human and material measurement is wrong. Everyone is wrong. Yes?
As long as you feel peaceful about what you are doing and you feel it's the right thing, you feel, and even though the patient does, that's up to them if they don't.
Yes. 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 I would say that. Yes. Exactly. If the patient doesn't feel at ease, but you feel at ease, you should be quite happy with that state. Because it may be that the patient has to work out something and that he has to go through some or the other struggles, inward struggles, which are needful and right, in order really to awake spiritually. It's not enough that people get a physical healing. What is needed is that they are spiritually awoken. Say awoken.
Awaken.
See, spiritually awakened. That's the big healing. And especially if a patient takes it serious, he will really see the spiritual healing as the most important thing, and the physical healing as the signs following, and therefore within the development and unfoldment of a spiritual awakening, the patient may go through one or the other struggle or crisis or chemicalization, and this is all good. We have seen when we went through the Christ translation that it is the Christ that brings up suffering and crisis, see? Because it is the Christ that does not want to let the patient go, namely insofar he wants that the patient really makes spiritual strides. Yes?
You say you have to be very still.
Yes.
But mostly every day you're in the business world.
Yes.
That's really where the problem seems to hit you.
Yes. Yes, well, stillness is a stillness within you. And some people can be still within themselves in the greatest trouble, in the greatest noise, in the greatest rat race. It's an inner attitude. See, you can walk really through life with an inward stillness, or the very same thing with being inwardly very with a great upheaval and stirment and so, being stirred. See, that's a good thing that you bring this up. See, that's why I feel really why it is so necessary for all of us to do the practice of the laws. You know, those general practices. Because if you take those hours in which you can be still outwardly and inwardly, where is peace and rest, you can also have a situation where everything around you is very peaceful and inwardly you are all worked up. Huh? all worked up. So the outward situation really isn't mouse given, isn't really a measure. Huh? It's the inward. And to keep an inward stillness, I don't see much in any other way but to go systematically through your fundamentals of the chart, systematically, say, through the laws. And then you will see, for instance, if you entertain very systematically, say, those wonderful laws of life, truth, and love, and take, so to say, every little moment of 20 seconds or 15 seconds in a daily rush, where you wait for the bus or where you are standing waiting for the elevator or anything, and just have a quick tuning in where something within you says, don't worry, old boy, don't worry. Life, truth, and love is at work. Only life, truth, and love is at work. Only life, truth, and love is your mind. Huh? Then you have the law of interdependence. This doesn't take much time. But if you do that during the day about 2 dozen times or 3 dozen times, just that tuning in, just as we have the background music in an elevator or anything like that, you see, we really should entertain that background music within ourselves of these fundamental laws. Then you feel after a certain time that these laws become you, without thinking it. You feel suddenly to be in another, to have another mental stature or another conscious stature. And you walk right through the fire with that stillness. Therefore, I feel not these flow charts as we do them in category 2, where we take individual problems, are really that which cultures our practice. They are the application. That which really cultures our practice is much more what we did all through the week, namely systematically go through the horizontals or verticals, through the laws, and that exercise is really that which we have seen is restructuring our human understanding. And if our human understanding is restructured, then it doesn't matter what the outward world presents to us. See, I think, isn't it so that the musician has that kind of sense, that he is so at one with the harmony of music that his harmony detects every error that he hears, but it doesn't disturb him. If he is a good musician, it doesn't disturb him, because he replaces it at once with the beauty and grandeur of what he knows. And that's what we should achieve, that we really can go to the business, those 7 or 8 hours, with all the rush and with all the elbowing and so on, and feel, yes, that's the business world, but I'm in that world, but not from that world. I'm from another world. I'm from the world of spiritual consciousness, and within that spiritual consciousness, I have my stillness, no matter what's going on outwardly. Really, that is the point. Huh? So that we can walk through the Red Sea. Okay. So we said that one point in our discussion, we said, naturally, what we should do first is to get our stillness. So let's see how stillness runs. Say, a patient has told you the story, all the ups and downs of the stories, and so for yourself, something comes to you, especially then, when you have done the general exercises over and over, and there is a consciousness within yourself that doesn't get so quickly disturbed about the outward things, that something within you just says, oh, oh, oh. Actually, there is only one principle going on.
Level of science,
huh? You start right there on level of science, that principle, you see, where you lean back and not even take any notice what the patient has been saying, because you say to yourself, it's anyway a lie. So what I know is that I see that the only thing that is going on is the infinite principle. And then something in you may say, but what is this infinite principle? What would you do? The word order? Yes? Uh-huh. Beg your pardon?
On the level of divine science.
The word order, we have no... Well, now we have to be careful. One said, this is the word order, huh? When I say, what is this infinite principle, huh? And somebody else said, what?
Divine science.
Divine... Yes. So, you see, you would... If you say there is only one infinite principle anyway going on, and you say within yourself, well, what does it mean that there is only, I said that there is only one principle, then somebody said, well, this is the statement of the word as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love. Yes, you can do that.